What sort of behaviour do you think you need to do to get suspended as a member of the Association of British Pharmaceutical Industry for 2 years? What would a pharmacy company need to do for the British pharmaceutical industry to take that serious an action? Well, we're going to find out. And we're also going to look at the lawsuits that have started cropping up already against Novo Nordisk and Ozempic and Wegovy. And we'll see, what are they about? Why are people suing Novo Nordisk? I know a lot of people would think that the US are very big on suing. It's not just them, it's a lot of the world are following along now. But there are a number of lawsuits, and Novo Nordisk have put aside a staggering sum for lawsuits. We're going to look at that today. Welcome to episode 8 of Investigating Ozempic. I'm Bern. So far on the podcast, we've covered quite a bit of ground. And I'm just going to do a recap on the episodes that we've had so far. But I would strongly encourage you to go back and listen and start from the beginning, because this podcast is like a puzzle. There are many pieces, and when you put all the pieces together, then you can finally see the picture. In the first episode, we discussed how there is a world obesity epidemic, and there are now new drugs that are put out to help with that obesity issue. We also discussed government regulators, the government regulators such as the FDA and the TGA in Australia, who are compromised by being in the pocket of the large pharmaceutical companies. In the second episode, we discussed the two CEOs of Novo Nordisk, which is the Danish company that produces Ozempic and Wegovy. We talked about their very different approaches to weight loss drugs. I asked the question, why didn't the old CEO push the button on the Wegovy trials? And why did he seemingly want to keep Ozempic as a diabetes drug only? We also looked at the stock market and spoke to Dave about how many CEO salaries are heavily paid in shares. In the third episode, we look back in time to the first GLP-1 drugs and how they differ in dosage and administering to what we have today. We also talked to Laurie about her successful journey on Saxenda. On the fourth episode, I spoke about two respected Danish scientists who claimed in 2017 that higher dosages of GLP-1s, which is semaglutide, which is the drug found in Ozempic and Wegovy, were not supported by clinical trials. I looked at the timing of this article and their controversial statement, and I searched for the missing phase 2 Ozempic clinical trials, and I took a look at the phase 3 Ozempic trial on diabetes and questioned the small amount of weight loss found alongside the large number of side effects. I also chatted to Kevin about his amazing Mounjaro weight loss journey. Then in the fifth episode, I asked, how did the weekly administered Wegovy drug get approved for the higher dosage of 2.4 milligrams after doing a controversial dosage trial that conducted testing daily rather than weekly, which is how everyone on the planet administers Wegovy? Why did the government regulators approve this dosage after expressing some concerns? And why did world scientists publish questions over using higher dosages of semaglutide for weight loss? And then I asked the question, is that all to do with gastric side effects? In the following episode, I looked into why Wegovy possibly got approved at a 2.4 milligram dosage, what were the percentage of side effects found in clinical trials, and why the hell did our government regulators say yes? We took a look at the speed of weight loss and why it matters in advertising. Plus, what GLP-1s had in common with the smash hit show, The Biggest Loser. And in that same episode, I pushed for more personalised doses of semaglutide and we look at the battle of Big Pharma for the consumer dollar and how it comes down to being the ultimate biggest loser. Because who the hell remembers the runner-up? The following episode, which was last week's episode, episode 7, I took a comprehensive look at all of the side effects, or as the clinical trial data likes to call them, adverse events. I look at what is the percentage of people that suffer from them and find out that it is gastric side effects that affect the majority of people who are using Ozempic or Wegovy for weight loss. I also talk to a fascinating and vivacious person, Shauna, about her experiences on taking Ozempic for weight loss and what is the social stigma of making those choices, plus what were the side effects that she suffered at the time. Now we're on episode 8. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, or go for a walk, whatever you do when you listen to my podcast, and hope you enjoy it. On the 16th of March, 2023, the ABPI, which stands for the Association of British Pharmaceutical Industry, decided to suspend Novo Nordisk for 2 years due to serious breaches of the code of practice. Now, this is only the 8th time in 40 years that the ABPI have done this to a large pharmaceutical company. And they did this because they considered that Novo Nordisk's actions were significantly concerning and that they were possibly going to bring discredit on or reduce confidence in the pharmaceutical industry. That's pretty big news. And I'm just going to get to the specifics of why they did that. So there was a concern received in 2021 that Novo Nordisk had sponsored courses offered on LinkedIn. There was a health professional in the UK who provided a screenshot of a LinkedIn post, which contained an image of what appeared to be an overweight female on her mobile phone holding a drink, sitting on a park bench. He stated that the post linked to a training provider's website, which was headed for a weight management course. The complainant alleged that it was Novo Nordisk who was sponsoring free weight management courses, which meant that the meeting took place on behalf of Novo Nordisk. The complaint was that the LinkedIn post didn't make clear Novo Nordisk's involvement, and it didn't state whether it was promotional or a non-promotional meeting. But that was one of the issues. I know it doesn't sound like much to put up a LinkedIn ad and say free weight loss courses, but when you look at it a little more deeply than that, what would happen is those people would go to the course and then they would be encouraged to use Saxenda, which is a Novo Nordisk drug. So it's effectively like promoting the weight loss drug. That was the issue. It wasn't specified and it wasn't clear, and people were, I guess, kind of tricked into going to what they thought was a free weight loss course when they would ultimately be prescribed Saxenda or try to get prescribed Saxenda, which is kind of dodgy. There's another thing that happened to Novo Nordisk in Britain again. And that, I wonder if this has got to do with the fact that they already had the British Pharmaceutical Society looking at them. But in 2023, they disclosed that they had forgotten or misappropriated about $9.97 million US dollars between 2020 and 2022, as they failed to disclose that they had paid that much money for fees and expenses paid to individuals and organisations in Britain. So that's like payments to doctors for talking and payments to anyone for promoting or selling their drugs. So the UK Industry Board, Prescription Medicines Code of Practice Authority, said that they reprimanded them because Novo Nordisk voluntarily admitted it. They paid more than 150 different bodies for sponsorships, healthcare organisations and healthcare professionals. Now, a reprimand for that, I mean, that seems pretty light, don't you think? Yeah, that's, for me, that's like, well, how the hell do you fail to disclose that? I think a reprimand over that is a joke. Anyway, that's what they did. That was their reprimand from the British industry. In January 2025, the PMCPA, which is the Prescription Medicines Code of Practice Authority in the UK, issued another reprimand to Novo Nordisk for not correctly disclosing numerous payments to UK health groups. This was the third reprimand in less than a year, and it highlighted concerns about the company's transparency in financial details with healthcare entities. The Guardian did a great article on this, and this was particularly concerning because this happened when Novo Nordisk had supposedly already done their audit. The undisclosed payments came to light after an investigation by academics in the UK and Sweden who cross-referenced transparency disclosures by Novo Nordisk with financial statements and other records from UK healthcare organisations. They had failed to disclose an £183,000 payment to a weight loss coaching company that partners with pharmacies, and a £338,435 payment to a global obesity organisation. So that's a total of another £500,000 British pounds that they didn't disclose. This was on top of the £7.8 million British pounds that they didn't disclose back in 2023. So yeah, they seem to have a real thing about not disclosing payments, or mistakenly not disclosing payments. Don't want to accuse them of anything because don't want to get sued, do I? As a result of these sanctions in Britain on Novo Nordisk, the Royal College of Physicians and the Royal College of General Practitioners decided to end their corporate partnership with Novo Nordisk, which is, I mean, that's really significant. Both of these medical bodies have handed back funds received from Novo Nordisk in grants. I mean, you would think that scientific organisations are desperate for grants. So for them to hand back money, they must have really felt that this is absolutely the right thing to do. In Australia, Medicines Australia, you can go to their website and you can look up and see health professionals that have been paid by pharmacy companies. So I did that. Spent quite a time there looking up Novo Nordisk and seeing what sort of health professionals they were paying. And they've got a very long list of payments made from Novo Nordisk to medical industry professionals and bodies. This is not including advertising, it's just medical professionals, so nurses, doctors, people like that. It includes every kind of medical specialist, really, that you can think of. So I added it up, and in total, the payments, mostly for education states, were around Australian dollars, $5.5 million, between November 20 and October 23. And that doesn't include catering or food. Now, in Australia, if a company or pharmacy company is found to have breached the Australian Code of Conduct, the fine is up to Australian dollars 300,000. That's an absolute drop in the ocean for a pharmaceutical company. I've got no doubt that Novo Nordisk have paid medical professionals and medical bodies worldwide millions and millions of dollars. Possibly it's up to a billion. Maybe it's more by now. I don't know. There is a research article that states that a receipt of general payments from pharmaceutical companies is associated with increasing prescribing of those companies' drugs. That was found in a study. I'll put a link to that study. Reuters, the news agency, compiled a special report on this very topic of pharmacy companies paying health professionals. They claimed that a total of US $25.8 million was paid out over a decade in the USA. 41 payments were to obesity specialists who run weight management clinics, worked at academic hospitals, wrote obesity treatment guidelines, or held top positions at medical societies. So it's a thing. They pay health professionals. I'm not sure what you think about that, but I know that I find that quite concerning. I remember there was a paper that I had found written by a fairly senior female scientist here in Australia, and I had seen her on a program here in Australia, and I contacted her because when I looked into her, I could see that she had been on some of the boards of Novo Nordisk. She had been paid by Novo Nordisk. She even owned shares in Eli Lilly. And when I saw her on TV, she was talking so positively about these drugs, which, you know, there are positives to them, but there are also negatives, but she seemed to just be just positive, positive, positive. Anyway, when I reached out to her, she just basically denied everything. And I had to send her the proof. I'm like, well, here it is. It says here that you own shares. Here it is. It says that you're on this board. Which is, I mean, that's pretty bloody concerning, isn't it? And frankly, dishonest. I'd just rather people were upfront about whether they've had any dealings with them. Like they could say, yes, I used to own shares, or yes, I did a talk with them, and yes, I was paid, but this is my opinion. And I'd probably respect them a lot more than lying and trying to hide it. There you go. There is already a class action lawsuit against Novo Nordisk in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. It's about whether Novo Nordisk adequately warned plaintiffs or their bribing physicians about the alleged dangers of these products, and whether defendants made false, misleading, or incomplete representations regarding the safety of products. Novo Nordisk deny these allegations. Lawyers expect to include more than 10,000 personal injury lawsuits. The main injury claimed in the most recent Ozempic lawsuits is gastroparesis, or in layman's term, it's a paralysed stomach. This causes severe vomiting that can last for weeks or more. Gastroparesis may also occur with gastroenteritis or stomach inflammation. There's no cure for it, and plaintiffs are seeking compensation for loss of quality of life, past and future medical bills, and other damages. In September 2017, the US Department of Justice announced that Novo Nordisk will pay $58.65 million to resolve allegations that the company failed to comply with the FDA-mandated risk evaluation and mitigation strategy for its type 2 diabetes medication, Victoza. The resolution includes a payment of $12.15 million for alleged violations of the Federal Food, Drug and Cosmetic Act from 2010 to 2012, and a payment of $46.5 million for alleged violations of the False Claims Act from 2010 to 2014. Victoza is an early GLP-1, FYI. In 2009, Novo Nordisk agreed to pay US $9 million in connection with a kickback scheme that operated within the United Nations Oil for Food scheme. In 2011, Novo Nordisk paid US $25 million for off-label promotion of one of its drugs. And again in 2022, Novo Nordisk paid $6.3 million to resolve False Claims Act allegations. All of these were settlements, often with no admission of liability. Since 2000, Novo Nordisk has paid out $129,887,792 for 15 offences. Lot of dollars. I could see in Novo Nordisk's annual report of 2023 they had put aside 3,786 million Danish kroner, which is over US 533 million for legal matters for the next year. I think they're going to need it. In September 2023, the FDA added an Ozempic warning for intestinal blockage, intestinal obstruction, and ileus. Ileus is a condition that causes the intestines to stop working properly. According to Ozempic lawsuits, since the FDA approved Ozempic in 2017, Novo Nordisk has not included gastroparesis warnings in its prescription information until September 2023. The company warned about other Ozempic side effects, but didn't warn the public of the risk of severe gastroparesis. It's important to realise that not everyone who takes semaglutide or Ozempic or Wegovy will develop severe side effects. Often they'll develop smaller side effects. And I'm certainly not saying that this drug is bad or anything like that. I'm not trying to give you that impression, and I'm certainly not a medical professional. But it's good to know the knowledge. I think it's good to understand the knowledge about this drug and about the company that make it and how much you can trust them. In July 2024, lawyers began investigating Ozempic vision loss lawsuits. People who took any semaglutide drug, such as Ozempic and Wegovy, and suffered vision loss may qualify to file a lawsuit. There has basically been an explosion of new lawsuits filed as Ozempic and Wegovy get prescribed more and more. There was a 2024 study published in JAMA Ophthalmology, found an association between semaglutide and an eye condition called non-arteric anterior ischemic optic neuropathy. That's possibly why they're now suing for eye stuff. In January 2024, the FDA said it was evaluating reports of hair loss, suicidal thoughts, and aspiration under sedation, anesthesia, among people taking Ozempic and similar diabetes and weight loss medication. Canadians in November 2023 filed a proposed class action lawsuit in the BC Supreme Court, alleging Novo Nordisk failed to adequately warn prospective patients about potential complications, specifically gastroparesis. So I wanted to find out what was happening here in Australia in terms of lawsuits. And I had a really good look online, and I could find no publicly reported lawsuits involving Novo Nordisk medications, Ozempic and Wegovy. However, in 2021, Novo Nordisk faced scrutiny from Medicines Australia over allegations of promoting Ozempic for off-label weight loss uses. And this is a pretty common complaint that I've seen in multiple countries. But basically in Australia, Medicines Australia Code Committee found no breach of the code and did not impose any sanctions. The big news here in Australia is in May 2024, Australia announced plans to ban compounded versions of the weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Mounjaro, and they cited safety concerns due to the lack of rigorous testing. This is different to the US and I think different to the UK in that we cannot get compounded versions here. This decision aimed to protect Australians from potentially unsafe alternatives. I think it is just a matter of time before we see lawsuits here in Australia. Because for several reasons, they're a huge pharma company with a lot of money, one of the richest companies in the world, and they are a big target for lawsuits. Plus, we don't know the full implications of these drugs because people have not been using them at this dosage ever. Really, this is relatively a new thing. I know people say that GLPs have been around for a decade, and yes, they have. They absolutely have. However, we have not been using them at this dosage ever. So this is a new thing. So I would imagine over time, we will see them. Before I even started my podcast, I sent Novo Nordisk an email asking for explanations for most of the stuff that I had worked on and looked at, and I have yet to get any answers. I did hear back from them saying, oh, when is your book going to be published or when is this going to be put out? But I have still heard nothing. So I'm assuming they're not going to answer. Next week on the podcast, I want to talk about what are the five things that make a difference to how you react to semaglutide in your body. I've been banging on in this podcast about personalized dosages, how I believe that everyone possibly needs a personalized dose of semaglutide rather than the stock standard dose, which is everyone seems to get the same dosage recommendations that come from Novo Nordisk. I truly believe that we need a more personalized dose, and I want to explain why next week. So thanks for listening. This is Investigating Ozempic. I'm Bernadette Fisher. I've written and produced this episode, and I will see you next week. All the links, by the way, are in the show notes. Hey guys, before I finish up, there's something I want to ask you to do, and I never ask this, but if you could please rate, it helps people find the podcast, and if you could follow and review it, that would be fantastic. I'd really appreciate it. I know I'm slack with doing that myself with podcasts, but it does help. Helps other people find it. Thanks.